The title of today's message is Be a Seed Sower. Be a seed sower. A paraphrase of this might be this: make your life count in whatever you do. Be a person that makes a difference in your family and your community. Be a seed sower. Now, in the book of Genesis, there's a verse, chapter 26, verse 12. It's in your notes. Let's read that together. Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped a hundredfold, because the Lord had blessed him. You know, there's an example in the Old Testament of a guy by the name of Isaac. We've heard his name before, but he planted seeds. He planted for a crop. And he says, in the same year, he reaped a hundredfold. God blessed him in such a way. You see, the same thing can happen in our life and in our church if we are good seed planters. And so the big idea of the message, it's in your notes, here it is, very simple. Be a seed sower and reap a harvest. In other words, take your life, make it count, sow the kind of seeds that will bring a good harvest, a return into your life. That's the whole idea of this message. And so what I want us to do is take the Bible in the chair rack in front of you and turn to page 1516. Or you can open up in your Bible to Matthew 13, verses 3 through 9. We're going to read the seed, the parable of the sower together. We're reading out of the NIV. Yours might be a little different. It'll probably be close. But we're going to read God's word together this morning. Page 1516, and we're going to start Matthew 13 with verse 3. Let's read it. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seeds. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. I want to talk about how to be a wise seed sower in your life. And specifically, I want to share three things from this text that I think gives us insights of how to make your life count. I believe that everybody here, everybody listening online, wants their life to make a difference in other people. And so this passage is a call or an invitation from God to say, hey, I will take any person's life, and if they become an intentional, wise seed sower, their life will make a difference in the lives of other people. So let me share with you three things about being a wise seed sower. Number one, be intentional in sowing seeds. You see, everybody here on today, throughout the remainder of the day, are going to sow seeds. The question is, what kind of seeds are we sowing? And we have to be intentional in the kind of seeds that we sow. Because seeds are like plants, as Jen talked about, and they take root and they grow. If it's poor seeds or bad seeds, you're going to have bad fruit. If it's good seeds, you're going to have good fruit and a good return. So let me share with you five things five types of seeds that I think we all can intentionally sow, letter A in your notes. The first one is the Word of God. Read with me Luke 8:11 in your notes. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the Word of God. You know why this one's at the top of the list? The Word of God has power to change people's lives. If you're at the Big M or somewhere, you're shopping, and you get a chance to share a phrase of a scripture with somebody to encourage them, you are planting a seed. And for example, maybe they're going through a tough time, and you say, you know what? There's a verse in the Bible that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. If you could share just a phrase of a scripture and you plant it into a person's heart as encouragement, then you're a seed planter wherever you go. Letter B, gestures of kindness. Read with me 2 Samuel 9:1. David asked, is there still anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? David was on a mission to sow kindness into Saul's household. And so this week, you can look for opportunities. Surprise somebody. Do something unexpected for them. Maybe it's buying their something, or maybe it's a compliment. Maybe it's a small act of service. Do a gesture of kindness because you're planting a seed of goodness into somebody else's life. And so David had a lifestyle of doing that. I have to say, I love the church family because there's a lot of seed planters who plant kindness into other people's lives just about all every week and over time. I mean, people intentionally do that. All right, letter C. The third kind of seed I want to talk about is words that you speak. Read with me Psalm 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I thought about this yesterday. If you were to take the last 7 days and you were to project or add up all the words you spoke and you did an x-ray of them, what would it look like? I mean, you look at all the words that you spoke in a week and you analyzed them. And David, or the psalmist says, may the words of my mouth somehow honor you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The words are like seeds that we speak into other people's lives. What does it look like? Are they kind of sort of good? Are they okay? Are they really good? Or are they bad? You see, every word that we speak is like planting a seed into somebody else's life. And if they're negative or profane, they're downers. If it's positive and inspiring, it uplifts people. It's a seed that's planted. And we have to be careful. Now, I like to say that we need to have a filter. Everybody here needs to have a filter of what comes out of your mouth. You got to think before you speak, right? And the more we filter what comes out, the more positive seed planting goes into other people's lives. And do you know where we start? Listen, start in your home. Start with your husband or wife, your kids, your family, your immediate friends. Start there. You know why? That's where you're planting the most seeds. You may not think of it that way, but every word we speak is a seed of some kind that gets planted in somebody else's heart. And the psalmist says, hey, may the words of my mouth honor you, God, every time I open my mouth. All right, let's go to letter D. I like this one. The fourth kind of seed I want to talk about is our attitudes. Read with me Philippians 2:5-7 in your notes. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. I want to talk about our attitudes. When you and I walk into a room, we do not have to say a word, but we are planting seeds. You know why? Our attitude goes before us. I like to think of it as weather. Everybody has a weather pattern in their life. It's their attitude. And when they get up in the morning, the weather pattern goes before them. Now, some people have a real sunshiny weather pattern. Others are a bit cloudy. And then there's another category. Some people are thunderstormish. Seriously. Paul says, hey, check your attitude. Do you know what? You're planting seeds. You are influencing people just by showing up in their life. And the attitude that we project influences other people. The word of God is the most powerful seed. Gestures of kindness is a biggie. Words you speak, attitude. Here's the last one I want to cover. The fifth kind of seed is what I call invitations to others. Read with me Luke 14:23. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. Here's a story where the master, which represents God, is telling the servants, go out and let the word be known. I want people to come in to experience what I have for them. Compel them to come in. Now, I want to talk about the power of an invitation. So next Sunday, we're going to start a 5-week series. And here's the title of it. It's called Think Orange. Now, let me explain that. When you take the color red, which represents love in the home, it's families. It's where love starts. And you take the color yellow, which represents the church. Jesus said he's the light of the world. You take red and you take yellow. You combine them, you get orange. So to think orange is this. There's a partnership between the home and the church in order to maximize life. So next Sunday, 5-week series, and here's the focus of it. We want to equip parents, grandparents, people who are parents to other kids, of what you can do in the home to help shape the hearts of the kids in your home and in our community. Now, I want to give you some examples. Maybe it's grace before meals. How many say grace before meals? All right. A lot of people want to do that. They don't know how. We're gonna give some tools to people on their way out. How about this one? Prayer at bedtime. Say, how do we do that? And so this whole thing about prayer before bedtime, you know, we'll give some examples. And here's another one. How about faith conversation starters? Maybe you're gathered around the dinner table, and like, how do I get a conversation about God started? For example, you might say, well, hey, did anybody see God at work today? And what you're doing is creating a culture in the home of a God-centered conversation as opposed to just the general stuff that we always talk about. And here's another example. This is going to be towards the end. I love this one. What do you have hanging on the walls in your home? I have a picture. It's at the house of an angel watching over a bridge. The bridge has a slat missing in it. It's a wooden bridge. There's two young kids walking across it. That picture hung in my bedroom for years. Now, there were times I walked right past it, even didn't even recognize it, think it was there. Other times, in the hard times of life, I remember bowing in prayer and saying, God, I need your help. And that mental picture, the image in my head, I knew there was somebody watching out for me, that there's a God up there, there's an angel that's covering me. And that influenced my heart over years. I saw that picture thousands of times. Sometimes I didn't even hardly notice it. But here's the point. What do you have hanging in your home to influence your kids or the people that come to visit? So during this five-week series, here's what we're going to do. We want to equip parents, grandparents, and other people of how to do things in their home through a partnership between the home and the church called Think Orange to make a difference in the lives of our kids. So I want to have Jake put this picture up. It's a postcard, not that one. Let's go back to this, Jake. All right. There's a whole bunch of these as you leave, and I've got an assignment and a challenge. I want everybody to take a packet of these. There's five in here in a rubber band. Everybody's got to take one, kids and adults. And you are going to become a seed planter over the next few weeks. It's an invitation card. Now, it says yellow plus red equals orange. It's the home and the church. Here's the back side. Jake can put that up. It just tells about the service times and some of the things we're going to cover. Plant some seeds into people's lives. Maybe you want to take two packs of them. Go for it. Make a difference. Now, here's the quote Jake put up about what an invitation can do. You have the power to change someone's life through an invitation. Now, I thought about this five-week series, and let me just say this. I think it's the biggest and best opportunity we have as a church to make a difference in the way of outreach to the people around us. You know why? Families want to figure this stuff out. They just don't know how to do it. Put this card into people's hands and let God bless other people through you. Now, I got an example. Troy and Bonnie spoke and talked with Paul Levine, I don't know, 3 years ago. How many know Paul? He comes the first service? Yeah. He was here this morning. They planted seeds. Paul eventually started coming around, and he's right on task. He loves this. He found new life. You know what he did? He went and invited two of his friends. That's how it works, Richie and Chris. You invite one, let them invite somebody else, and you never know where it's going to stop. So I want us to, as a church family, embrace the mission and the challenge. Take a packet of these, take two. They're on your way out. And be a seed planter of an invitation. It's low key. And we want to be a family-driven ministry church this fall. That's our focus through XP3, 252, Sunday mornings, all the family events we're doing. We want to be family-focused. This dovetails right into it. And make a difference to change somebody's life because you stepped up, God used you, you planted seeds, and you'll reap a harvest. All right. So that's number one. Be intentional in the kind of seeds that you plant. All right, number two, we'll keep moving here. Understand the different kinds of soil. Understand the soil types. Let's go to the next slide. You can fill these in. Four things. There's hardened soil, rocky soil, choke soil, and good soil. Here's what Jesus is saying. Not everybody's going to be excited about this. Understand that. You know what? That's okay. The hardened soil is somebody that just kind of, they're not interested. The enemy comes and steals away the invitation. Letter B, rocky soil. People have a little bit of soil in their life, but the seed goes down and it doesn't take root and they fall away because of life's pressures. Letter C, choke soil. This is huge. Understand people that have choked soil, including Christians. Jesus said there's two things that help people get choked in life. The first one is when the worries of life just weigh them down. The second thing is wealth. And what he was saying is when wealth gets, we become so driven for wealth, it squeezes out our availability for kingdom opportunities. People chase money rather than giving God time we come to meetings, we have ministry opportunities, and those two things can choke soil. And we even as Christians have to be careful of that. But finally, letter D, good soil. Now listen, there's people out there that are good soil that need to have a seed planted in their life, because that is the one that'll bring the increase and it'll bring the harvest. So be and understand the soil types. And finally, number three, believe God for a harvest. Believe him for a harvest. So read with me Matthew 13:23. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Hey, believe God for a harvest in the cards and the invitations you pass out to people. Believe him for it. If you invite four people and three of them say no because they're different kinds of soil, but you get one person with good soil and every person here finds one person or a family with good soil, can I tell you, that's just like exponential growth. And that is what God wants us to experience. All right, here's a couple quotes as we wrap up. It is only the farmer who faithfully plants seeds in the spring who reaps a harvest in the autumn. I got a sister and a brother in Iowa that farm, and every year in the spring, they plant so that they can harvest in the fall. If we never plant, we can't harvest. Here's another quote. It is like the seed put in the soil. The more one sows, the greater the harvest. If you have a big network of friends, just invite them out. Just say, hey, we'd love to have you come. We're talking about how to combine the home and the church to work together. Let me conclude. Jesus said this, the fields are white unto harvest. You know what he's saying? There's people out there with good soil that need the invitation from somebody to figure life out. Here's my last quote. Get your mind on the harvest. You know what the harvest is? People. Broken people just like us who need the grace of God to understand life, and we have the opportunity to make a difference in inviting them and being a part of their journey when they think orange. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow now, and we just look to you in faith. And we ask that you would use us over the next few weeks to be an intentional seed sower in everything we do. And as we think about invitations, I pray you'll provide divine appointments for people here that they can slip a card into somebody else's hand. Invite him out to this series, and I pray that you'll bless each divine appointment. Make it an experience of an incredible harvest. Lord, so we just pray your blessing upon each of these cards, upon each heart. Go before us and give us an amazing five-week series. And so, Lord, I just now conclude in prayer that you'll take every person here, and we will become champion seed planters as we share your word, as we plant gestures of kindness through the words that we speak. We filter them through the attitudes of our heart and through the invitations to other people. Father, make our lives count for the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.